the whole team should have stayed. It went to one.
He just has it. 5 seconds to go. Bridges for three.
Yeah! Oh! The big star delivers. The big star delivers. And that's what you want, the big star.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Spartans, Wolverines, and Beards podcast. Episode 24. It's hard to believe we've been doing this for 6.5 months now.
Yeah.
Crazy. I feel like I say that every time.
I think we do. Yeah. You know, who cares? It's our podcast.
Yeah, we say what the hell we want.
Yeah.
America. Right. Anyways, so if you guys haven't yet, make sure you look us up, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Spartan Wolverines Beards Podcast. Once you're done listening to us, make sure you rate us on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Anchor.
Wherever you're getting your podcast from.
Yeah, make sure you guys drop us a rating, maybe some comments. If you don't like what we're doing, let us know. We can work with that, especially on our social media pages. If you want us to talk about something, drop us a line and we'll talk about it. I think we're at this point in the season where everything's really slowed down and we're very much open to discussion topics, and who knows, we might explore a little bit with this puppy. So we'll see where this thing goes in the next few weeks.
Yep.
Looking over this week, we're going to talk a little NFC conference title game or NFL conference title game recaps, do some in-depth college basketball, do a little NBA, and probably close this puppy down.
Yeah, it should be a shorter episode. Like you said, the sports world has kind of slowed down a little bit. Mm-hmm. There's only one football game left, and the NBA is just kind of in the middle. And
yep.
College basketball is going full force now, so that'll be the majority of our focus. But, yeah, I don't think we have too heavy of a thing this week. But I think the only news thing we were going to talk about was the Kansas State
brawl
debacle that it was last night. So if you don't know what we're talking about, last night, Kansas State basketball in Kansas, at Allen Fieldhouse. Kansas was up like 22.
Yeah.
And they were just dribbling the clock out. Silvio D'Souza had the ball at the top. Or no, somebody had the ball at the top. And Kansas State players stole it and went to go in and dunk the ball with like 6 seconds left. And D'Souza came up over the top and he blocked it. And I think it was a clean block. But then after he blocked it, he decided he was going to stand over the top of the player. And you could tell that he was very clearly jawing at him and saying something to him. And it resulted in both benches clearing, punches being thrown, a full-out fight. It went into a handicapped seating area at the stadium, which, I mean, you have people who are
unable to get out of the way.
They can't defend themselves or move, and now you have these giant humans coming at them. And then the icing on the cake is D'Souza's dumbass grabs a stool and swings it up over his head like he's going to hit somebody with it.
Yeah.
And luckily, I don't know what – I watched the video several times. I don't know whether he dropped it, but it looked like an assistant coach was trying to grab it.
Coach grabbed it.
Yeah, so that coach might have saved him some jail time. Because if he hits somebody with that stool, that's battery.
Especially if you hit a fan.
Right, and there was a picture of him holding it up, and there's a woman behind him, like, pushing him to like get him away from her. She's on the ground.
Yeah.
And he's like 6'10". This dude's huge, and this is going on. Like, I hope, now Bill Self has come out and said that he's suspended indefinitely. I hope the NCAA comes in and puts an end to that and like suspends every single person who was involved in that. Like, if there was a punch thrown, you should be gone for the season.
Well, and I think on top of that, I think they should potentially look into suspension from the tournament.
I mean,
I think if you want to set an example that we will not tolerate it.
That was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's reminiscent of Pistons, Pacers.
The Malice at the Palace. Yeah,
but now it's not better. Those are professionals. Those are adults.
Yeah.
So, obviously, it's going to hold a different standing, but that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Over something as stupid as a player going in to dunk a ball when you're up 22 points. I understand there's unwritten rules, and you don't do that stuff, and it's disrespectful. But at the end of the day, turn around, look at him, and say, you still got beat by 20.
Yeah.
Instead, it turns into this whole thing, and it could drastically influence this season, because right now Kansas is looking as a one seed. If they lose D'Souza and a couple other players...
It's so selfish.
It is. 100%. That is the right word for it. It is so selfish.
You know, and I was listening to... on lunch this morning, I was watching SportsCenter, and they brought a take in from a First Take, and they had Jay Williams on there. And Jay Williams is like, you know, he's like, I've been in fights. And he said, you know, I understand where the kids are coming from. And he said, but he's like, why is this such a big deal when baseball fights happen and football fights happen? And
because there's not fans involved.
And exactly. It's like, it is a big deal because you just saw what happened with Myles Garrett. Uh-huh. He nobody knows when he's coming back. And yeah, it happens in baseball, but nobody's taking a baseball bat and about ready to crack somebody upside the head.
Right.
And like you said, fans aren't involved. I mean, what would have happened if he would have swung the stool? Say he hit a kid.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry, jail time. Yeah, see ya.
100%. You have to be held accountable for your actions. At 18 years old, you're an adult. So.
And sorry. Kansas would be getting their asses sued.
Oh, buddy. They'd be lucky if they don't.
Yeah.
If somebody got a minor injury.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that it's absolutely ridiculous. There's no room for that in any sport.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that these guys are athletes and they're competitive. We've all played sports. We've all been competitive. I've been in the heat of the moment like that. But you have to take the moment and stop and think and realize these are innocent people around you that you could completely hurt. Like, dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
It was ridiculous. There's no room for it. And I really hope the NCAA does set an example. Yeah. And suspends anybody that was involved in that for the season.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want one or two games. D'Souza shouldn't play anymore. The kid from K-State that came off the bench and was throwing punches should never play again. Like, there's no room for that in the game.
Oh, you've only got six players the rest of the season? Tough shit.
Sorry. Walk-ons are playing, yes.
Yep.
It's manager time. I mean, set the example. You have to, because something like that can't happen again, because it'll only get worse.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that
was sad. I got an alert on it when I was asleep, woke up this morning, saw it, and watched the tapes. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God.
Like, what are you thinking?
They weren't. Yeah. That's the thing.
You're just heat of the moment, acting young and stupid, and you just...
But that doesn't excuse it.
No.
At all.
I guess, another news story we just rolled... Lightly brush on it is baseball did a Hall of Fame election.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday, right. Jeter, somebody stiffed him.
Yeah.
One vote.
I've heard a lot of mixed opinions about it. Derek Jeter is a very polarizing figure in baseball. And I'm not his biggest fan. Mm-hmm. I do think he is very deserving to be in the Hall of Fame. He's very deserving to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think he's a top five shortstop of all time. He is not a top five player, or probably not even a top 10 player of all time. So the whole thing about him being unanimous and it being a huge deal, to me, he shouldn't have been unanimous, because my thought process on the Hall of Fame is, if you aren't without a doubt the best player at your position, how could you be a unanimous Hall of Famer?
Right.
You can make arguments for other guys over Jeter at shortstop. Like Mariano Rivera, there's not really a whole lot of argument.
No.
Like, you could say Trevor Hoffman, but you're still wrong.
Right.
Like, Mariano Rivera is the greatest closer of all time. There's not a whole lot of debate. So I was okay with that. Unanimous. I get it. The reason Jeter gets all the pub is because he is the figure of baseball in this generation.
Yeah, and you incorporate Jeter with the teams that Mo played on.
Right.
So, I mean, automatically you say, well, Mo got it. Why can't Jeter?
Right.
And like you said, he's such a polarizing figure in today's baseball world, because he's running the Marlins, dating supermodels, like he's
never been in trouble, he's the clean image guy.
Yeah, right. He is, like, if you want a team guy,
if you want an advocate for your sport, he is the guy you want.
Yeah,
100%.
Absolutely.
But if Ted Williams isn't unanimous, if Pete Rose still isn't in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, which is a joke.
I mean, Babe Ruth wasn't unanimous. I mean, these guys were the greatest in their time, and they weren't, so I just don't get the argument. Jeter was an excellent player, a deserving Hall of Famer. He deserved to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I think he got too many votes.
Yeah.
If we're being 100% honest.
I think that's fair.
I'm happy that Larry Walker got in, because I do think Larry Walker deserved it. I mean, he never had those, like, oh my God, like, he went on a run for, like, 15 years. But that stretch in Colorado where he had, like, five straight years where he hit over 360, he was raking. I mean, that dude was raking. So I'm happy that he got in. And it looks like Bonds and Clemens never will. I mean, you have to think, in a year like this where there's no big name besides Jeter, and they didn't move up hardly at all. Now, next year will be probably the only chance they have, because there's no big name guys next year.
Yeah.
There's no front end load guy to get in the Hall of Fame, and they're saying it's like a moving year for the Hall of Fame votes. If Clemens and Bonds don't get there next year, I don't think they ever will.
Do you think they deserve to get it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, steroids, yes, they're against the rules. You broke the rules. You cheated. You still have to hit the ball, and you still have to throw the pitch.
Yeah.
Barry Bonds did things that nobody can even conceivably consider doing now. Like,
yeah.
What he was as a hitter, is he's the greatest pure power-hitting left-hander ever. I mean, like, the dude was amazing. And Roger Clemens, just look at his numbers. If take away the steroids, and he's still a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
If you take away the years that Bonds and Clemens were linked to steroids, they're still Hall of Famers. That's the problem I have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I struggle with it. I understand it. From the perspective of the voters, like, I don't want to reward a cheater, but at the end of the day,
you still got to hit the ball.
Right. At the end of the day, you're not doing, like, just put them there and let the Hall of Fame decide what they want to do.
Yeah.
Put them, they deserve, Pete Rose deserves to be there. Barry Bonds deserves to be there. Roger Clemens deserves to be there. Mm-hmm. Now, if you vote them in and the Hall of Fame says, well, we're going to put an asterisk by it, fine.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. They deserve to be there.
Yeah.
What they did, against the rules or not, is irrelevant for what they did for the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, it'll be interesting, because next year will be a moving year for that, because there's not that huge.
It'll be interesting to see if it finally happens.
We're at both at, like, 60%. You got to get to 75. That's a big climb. But Walker climbed 20% this year. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
I mean,
some of these old curmudgeon dudes got to get out of that voting is the unfortunate part.
Some of these, if you want to bring some excitement into baseball and attention to the Hall of Fame,
that's going to be. Cooperstown will be packed, that's for sure. Good, bad, or indifferent, they'd be packed. So. Yeah,
exactly.
There'll be 100,000 there for Jeter, though, this year, too.
Yeah.
So. All right, I think news-wise, that's probably about it. So why don't we just jump right into the NFL and kind of touch on these conference title games and kind of look at the Super Bowl. I think it's both what we both talked about last week. We thought would happen and who we wanted to see. And I think it's the first time in a very long time where I don't care who wins.
Yeah.
Like, Kansas City, cool. Andy Reid gets one. San Francisco, I don't have anybody that – I don't have any disdain for that team, so – I don't know. I thought the title games, I didn't watch a ton of them, but they were entertaining from what I did see, and stat lines and stuff were good. What are your thoughts on it? Where are you at with it?
I think this is the ideal matchup the NFL needs.
Could you imagine Tennessee versus San Francisco, or it's just a...
Or Tennessee against Green Bay?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Oh. But, you know, I like Mahomes against that pass rush at San Francisco. I think if you want a Super Bowl, you want strength versus strength. And you're getting the best offense against the best defense.
Yeah.
The fastest offense against the hardest to crack defense. So I think it's going to be a very good Super Bowl. I think for Andy Reid, it's very much well-deserved. 15 years ago, he took the Eagles to the Super Bowl, lost. He helped Doug Peterson get hired in at Philly. When the whole interview process happened, they reached out to Andy, and Andy told him he's a good guy. He's your guy if you want a Super Bowl. They won a Super Bowl with Doug Peterson. He helped talk Nick Foles into not retiring. That helped him win a Super Bowl. So I think if there's one guy in the league that deserves it, I think it's him.
Yeah, he's you've never heard his name in a negative light.
Yeah.
He's just always been this. He's an offensive genius, and he's just a good old boy, and he's got a pretty deep coaching tree now.
Well, and if the Lions were to part with Matt Patricia next year, I want Bieniemy.
Do you think it's him? That's the big controversy. Like, is he really the mastermind behind the offense, or is it... Is he calling plays and Reed's got like the script?
I think if you're with Reed as long as you have as he has been, you do pick that up.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's definitely a learned.
And I think that's. I mean, that could be something that could be discussed in the fall if Patricia suffers and they struggle. Because right. I mean, the comparisons right now are the Lions are going to be this year's San Francisco team next year.
It is uncanny how similar that comparison is. Mm-hmm. I saw that on Twitter too. You know, that San Francisco was 4-12, I think, last year.
Yeah, because Pat McAfee was talking about it on his show, because they asked one of his guys, he said, "Well, who's your sleeper team next year?" And they said Lions, and everybody kind of busted up. And he said, "No, listen," he goes, "new second year head coach, starting quarterback gets hurt early, lose every game, and just the comparisons are like." There.
Yeah.
I mean, the draft, your odds are going to take your next defensive stud. They took Bosa last year. I mean, it is.
It's very crazy how similar that comparison is. It'll be interesting to see, but it's still the Lions.
It's hard.
It's like the Lions still have to shake that stigma of being the Lions.
Yeah.
And whether or not anybody in the world wants to admit it, that is a thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, the new thing now is that the Tigers have drafted more Super Bowl quarterbacks than the Lions have. And if you didn't know, that was they drafted Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, but that's because baseball has like 60 rounds.
Yeah, so you're...
Shea Patterson got drafted
by
the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, and he hadn't played since, what, high school?
Yeah, he didn't even play in college, didn't do anything.
Yeah. That's crazy. But anyways, that's
just baseball.
I digress. So... looking at this year's Super Bowl, I mean, we got Pro Bowl this week. Nobody really cares about Pro Bowl.
Blah.
So looking forward to the Super Bowl, if right now you're looking at it, who are you taking?
I think I take Kansas City. I have a hard time thinking that San Francisco can score enough, because as good as your defense is, Kansas City's got way too many horses, and they're going to score, and Garoppolo's not going to win a Super Bowl throwing the ball 15 times. You're going to have to throw it. I understand that that dude rushed for 220 yards and 4 touchdowns or whatever it was. I get that. You're not going to be able to do that and keep up.
Yeah.
So I just think that in today's game and all the weapons the Chiefs have, I just think they score too much. Just like the national championship game.
Yeah.
Both teams are good, but I just think one offense is way too good.
Yeah. You've seen it the past 2 weeks with Kansas City. They're down against the Texans, and they end up going on a run of runs in like half a quarter.
Yeah.
They did it this past weekend against Tennessee. I mean, they started off slow and just boom, boom, boom. Pat Mahomes put it on his back and literally ran them to glory. I mean, it's hard at this point to go against Kansas City. The 49ers have the defensive guys, but there's no way Richard Sherman's covering Tyreek Hill. There's no way.
I mean,
Tyreek Hill on a post? There's no way.
Yeah.
And then you got Mecole Hardman saying, okay, you can cover him. I'm just going to do a quick out. I'm
just as fast.
Yeah, I'm just as fast. Surprise.
Yeah. They have. That's the thing is there's just so many horses. Like, how do you cover them all?
I do think the game will be closer. If I were throwing out a number, I'm going 34-27.
I think the biggest factor is weather. If it rains and it's in Miami, South Florida, if the weather gets involved, that's where San Francisco has the ultimate advantage because they can run the ball.
And Florida right now is experiencing like record lows.
Yeah.
So I mean, technically, it could be really friggin' cold for that game.
Yeah.
I mean, so
yeah, I would take the Chiefs. I would say 42-28, something like that. I just think they score too much.
I'm excited, though, for the Super Bowl because I really like watching the Chiefs.
Well, they're
it's a Golden State. I mean, this whole quick, score fast, and be flashy about
it's the sexy thing, yeah.
And that's the way it's becoming. I mean, you've seen it in basketball, Golden State, seeing it with Kansas City.
It's not going to be LSU, Alabama, where it was 9-0.
Yeah.
Those games are gone.
Yeah, so. Last year's Super Bowl is out. So out.
Yep, I think we're on board there.
So I think that it's the little wrap, last part to wrap up NFL. Senior Bowl practice going on this week. Some interesting names that are impressing, some interesting names that are depending on who you talk to, are impressing and then not. Sounds like Matt Patricia is definitely showing why he might not be a player coach. He's definitely getting after players, chewing some asses. I guess ESPN accidentally didn't cut his mic for some things and said some very nice things to some young men today. So got through. The number one that I've heard is an absolute freak of nature, which it worries me, is Javon Kinlaw from South Carolina. They said he is incredible, like an absolute specimen, beast. Nobody's stopping him. Like, he just looks ungodly good.
Yeah, I've heard
that
too. Which
that scares the crap out of me with us sitting at three.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if the juice is worth the squeeze.
Right. Especially, but if they trade back.
If they trade back. But I mean, if you're sitting at three.
And you can't take that risk.
And then you are starting to read, copy your term, the tea leaves. You start seeing some talk about Tua. Because there's been talk now that the Lions could potentially be thinking Tua. I think that's personally to scare up, like, the Chargers, the Panthers, the Colts,
That's such a Patriot move.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a Patriot move. Yeah, we really like player X.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to take him, but I want you to take him.
Yeah.
Because you think I like him.
Yeah. Okay, Miami, give me two firsts, your second, and a fourth.
Yeah.
And a second next year. We'll
I guess you can have him.
Yeah, I guess you can take your franchise QB.
Right, so.
So I two of the, keeping it local for our teams is Uche. Sounds like he's been pretty impressive.
Yeah, they've had him lining up at linebacker a lot. So I think that's where he projects more to.
And then they said Willekes is, it's another one, it depends on who you read. Sounds like he has looked good. And another one say he's been kind of meh.
Right.
And then the biggest one, the biggest contrast, which you and I were talking about before the podcast, was Shea Patterson. So much of this Twitter talk, you've got some people that are saying Shea's looked impressive, and then you've read other ones where it says he's been absolute dog shit.
Yeah. I'd lean more towards him not being good, but I have seen a lot of contrasting things there, so I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah,
he's gone. I don't care anymore.
You're ready for greener pastures.
Yep. So.
So I think that probably wraps up our NFL segment. Heard our new intro for college basketball season. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Jordan, and he's going to run with some college hoops news.
Yeah, so obviously we're in the mix of college basketball season, and the Big Ten race is in full swing. Last week, what did we have? Michigan takes two losses, I remember, on the road. Friday night, or no, it was one game last week, right?
Yes.
Back to back losses, but they only played Friday night at Iowa, 7-point loss, in a game that it felt like they were down like 20 the whole time. But then you look at the score and it's like, oh, they're up 7. Huh? It just had that feel of like they were getting blown out the whole time, and they weren't. So game gets down the stretch, and they don't end up pulling it out on the road again. So now they are 0-5 on the road, I think, in the Big Ten or in the season in true road games. So it is what it is. College basketball life on the road is tough. Ask Michigan State. They go to Purdue and get smacked. Now Michigan State then in turn had Wisconsin at home and win by 12 in a Wisconsin basketball game. It was ugly, sloppy, slow, just kind of a drudge of a game. But Michigan State takes care of business at home again. And then that leads into this week where you have currently, as we are recording, Michigan is playing Penn State. I have it recording at home, so I will not be discussing what is happening. And then they play at home versus Illinois this week. And then Michigan State has tomorrow night, they are, what was it, they're at, what was it?
They're at Indiana.
At Indiana. Mm. And then Sunday they're at Minnesota. So I say all that to kind of lead into my thoughts here on what college basketball is. And there's very contrasting opinions about what's going on in the state of Michigan in basketball right now. Michigan State's on a high right now. They're playing extremely well. Everybody's like, yeah, this is the team we thought they were. They're doing what they should do. And then Michigan is kind of rolled back down to where the preseason expectations were. And everybody's like, yeah, see, this is kind of who we thought they were. But I have some numbers here that I've looked up, and with the trends that are happening in the Big Ten and how hard it is to win a road game in the Big Ten, I mean, Michigan State, as good as they look, they go down to Purdue and just get run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just shows. So Michigan, in their six losses this year, five of them are on the road, obviously one at home in overtime to Oregon. Their average opponent rating in KenPom, so in those six losses, their average rating is 19, with the best being Louisville at 7, Michigan State's at 8. The worst being Illinois on the road, which would be is 36th right now.
Mm-hmm.
And on the road, obviously that spikes that up. Going forward for Michigan, in their next 8 games, they play 6 at home and 2 on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So the stretch of where they've struggled has been largely on the road and against very good teams for the most part. Over that 8-game stretch, their opponent average in KenPom is 49th. So the schedule turns very favorably for Michigan.
Yeah.
It's a very important stretch of basketball. These 8 games will dictate very much how this season goes for them. I mean, they have Penn State, Illinois at home this week. You go to Nebraska. So if you have a road game in the Big Ten, that's the one you want.
Right.
Because Nebraska's bad. Then they play versus Rutgers. It's a neutral site at Madison Square Garden. So,
which Rutgers now is ranked.
Rutgers is good this year, but New York City's kind of like another Michigan hotbed, right. So it'll be interesting to see what that looks like.
Everywhere's a Michigan hotbed.
Well, they do have the largest alumni base in the world, just saying. Then they have Ohio State and Michigan State at home, and then they go to Northwestern, which if you had to have another road game, that's another good one to have, and then they have Illinois at home. So in that stretch, their two road games are the two worst Big Ten teams in the conference. I say all that, it lines up for the fact that Michigan can really change their season mm-hmm. right now. And the biggest piece of that is they need to get Isaiah Livers back and healthy. I mean, the both losses they had at Minnesota and at Iowa, you feel like if Isaiah Livers plays, it's a lot different situation. Because you talk about a guy who just glues your team together defensively. He can score in so many different ways. So the rumblings coming out are that he's closer. It sounds like he's getting healthier, and it's just a we really don't want to push him too soon kind of thing. But there's no more important stretch of the season than right now. This 8-game stretch will decide whether you're in the tournament comfortably or you're fighting for your life in the Big Ten tournament.
And you know, the stretch that you guys face, like you said, it is going to determine a lot for you guys. If you do get Livers back and you do get, say, you do like the big dance and you make the big tourney, I mean, this could be a Michigan team that could be a team that upsets some bigger teams because they've been there before. They've done it before. And this year there is no clear-cut
elite team. Right. Yeah, they project like a 6 or 7 seed right now.
In which that's a good spot.
I like 6 better than 7.
Yeah, 7's a little tougher.
Because 7, then you're playing a 2 seed week round 2. But mm-hmm. 6... 3 seeds are always like, well, maybe they're 4, maybe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it does. And like I said, the tough games are at home, so that's good. The two road games are the best two road games you're going to have. Even if they go 6-2 in the stretch, that helps them immensely.
Mm-hmm.
It puts them right back in the thick of the race for the Big Ten. The big thing is you're probably not going to win the Big Ten. Michigan State's likely going to win the Big Ten. Just because they got out such a hot start.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about them in a second with what their schedule looks like. It's very polar switches. Opposite. It is. So, but if you can get to that fourth spot, so you get that double bye in the Big Ten tournament, that's so important.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're running with a bench that's thin, and you don't want to have those tired legs. So just go 6-2 in the stretch. They're not going to win all 8 games. If they do that, then I think you can lock them into the tournament. That would lock them in because that would give them like 8 or 9 wins versus top 50 KenPom teams. That's better than a lot of people's season. Mm-hmm. So It's a very important stretch. Starts tonight. By the time you're listening to this, that game will be over. We'll have the results, and we'll have some ideas on where what direction they're heading. But you gotta start winning games. You gotta take care of home court in the Big Ten. You have any other thoughts on Michigan before I go to Michigan State?
Now I'm ready for your roll, man.
So, Michigan State, now I went through and I looked at that same eight-game stretch coming up. Michigan State has played a lot more home games this season. That's been the biggest thing for them. And I always thought it was kind of funny because, you know, Izzo teams are always traditionally struggle to start the year, and then he kind of reels them in, gets them shaped into what he wants, and gets them going in the right direction by the time late January, early February rolls around. It was very convenient for him that the Big Ten schedule started out with so many home games early on. Now, having said that, these next eight games, they have five on the road and three at home. And their three home games are Northwestern, Penn State, and Maryland. So, Northwestern, dud, should right. be easy. But they have to go to Indiana and Minnesota this week. Those are both tough places to go win basketball games. Not only just because they're in the Big Ten, but because of the environment
yeah.
that they're in. And then they have to go to Wisconsin. Nobody wants to go to Wisconsin. No. That is like the worst place to go play. So, their average KenPom rating in these eight games is 37th. And that's drastically drugged down by Northwestern. Mm-hmm. You take Northwestern out, and it's up to 26. So their opponent is getting a lot tougher, and it's on the road now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's another interesting stretch for Michigan State. So their only true road game so far was at Purdue. I mean, otherwise it's neutrals, and at Northwestern, I don't count that. And I guess I have to retract, actually. They did go to Seton Hall, and they won there. And that was before Seton Hall was playing what they're playing now.
Right.
Because right now they're tracking to like a two seed, but that's still a win on their resume. So outside of that, the Purdue game is their most recent road test, and it didn't go good. So, I mean, going to Indiana tomorrow night is going to be really, really interesting.
It's going to be a big game.
And Purdue kind of gave the game plan for that. Like, can you just bottle Cassius Winston up? You don't got to stop him. Bottle him up because he makes everything else go in that offense. And that's been the biggest thing is for them, who's that second guy? And I still just haven't seen that person step forward for them and be that second guy. So this eight-game stretch is not only important for Michigan to get on the right track, it's important for Michigan State to stay on track because that's a very, very tough stretch.
It is. And, you know, looking into this stretch, I mean, the one vote of confidence that I think you do have is Cassius didn't play that well against Minnesota. I'm just looking over the stat sheet. 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 6 points. So, I mean, he wasn't as predominant in that game. I mean, it's nice seeing Xavier Tillman, Gabe Brown, and Aaron Henry step up. The one player that I'm very intrigued in, and I think he's fully embracing his role, is Rocket Watts.
Yep.
I really think he's embracing that sixth man role.
The game has started to slow down for him.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it. And you know what? We talked about it, too, when he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I think we made the comment on here that, you know, maybe it's a situation where him going to the bench would be good for him because he can see the first few minutes of the game, and you're right. It definitely looks like that's helping him.
And I think going forward into to next season even, I think that's encouraging to see Rocket Watts start to fill this role because I do think this guy could be a monster if he if he keeps hustling, keeps working hard, and the game keeps clicking for him.
Right.
I think this guy is going to be another classic Michigan State point guard.
That's what and then with all the recruiting hype around him, that's what it was. Is that he was the next guy to step in there and be the guy. And I think with Langford injury, he just got thrusted into it too quick.
Yeah.
And he wasn't quite ready for it. So we'll see. He's definitely got the talent. I think it's just stay embraced into that role that he's in and just contribute.
And it's, and in all honesty for him, it's the ideal situation.
You get to learn behind Cassius, and you get to, you come into a team where you don't have to be the guy.
Yep.
Now you can just contribute and play your game and do your part, and
you can be a guy.
Yes, it's such a different step being a guy to being the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's got to be weight off of his shoulders.
Or a little Ric Flair to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Yeah. Woo. But no, it'll be interesting. This week will kick off a lot for both teams. Michigan State could very easily lose both of these road games, and then everybody looks back and says, "Okay, wait a minute here.
Right.
Now, was it just because they were at home, or is it just the Big Ten curse still? Like, what's happening in the Big Ten is so unprecedented right now. It's like all of college basketball is talking about how crazy the Big Ten is. There's still people saying they could get 12 teams in the tournament."
Which, that's insane.
In a 14-team league. They're talking about 12 teams. Right now, there are the latest Lenardi bracketology that I saw. He had 9 locks, 10 in, and 1 on the bubble.
Jeez.
Is what please. He had. Like, so he had Minnesota was just outside. He had Indiana just in, and I want to say Wisconsin was just out.
Good like Lord.
Everybody else was locked in. Like, that is so insane that a conference is that deep. And I don't, it's weird because I don't know if it's because the conference is so deep or if it's because there's just, like we said, there's no great team. Like, it feels like anybody can lose to anybody on any given day. I mean, Michigan State went to Northwestern and only won by 7.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a game in years past, Michigan State wins by 20. But it's just not that case this year.
It's going to be whoever gets hot and can keep it going.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. Like, you play 20-game season now in the Big Ten. It's not crazy to think that the Big Ten champ could be 12-8. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy to think right now because Michigan State's off to the hot start that they're off to, but
it's hoping.
I mean, you could have Michigan State that gets to a 15-5, and then there's 8 teams that are like 13-7, 12-8, and 11-9, like, just bottled up right there. The tiebreakers for the Big Ten tournament is going to be legendary to figure out. Like, I guarantee you there's at least a 6-way tie for one spot. I guarantee it.
Yep, probably.
It's the way it's playing out. So, it'll be interesting. This week, I said it like 4 times, and I feel like a broken record now, but this week is so important for both of these teams. Like, Michigan State needs to keep their momentum, and Michigan needs to get momentum. And it's tough to do on the road, and you got to take care of at home. So, we'll see. I mean, Big Ten basketball is fun.
You're going to see people's mettle coming.
Oh, yeah.
Heat real soon.
Oh, yeah.
And I really... And they think, and you know, I'm sort of thinking, like, this could have been a year like Kemba's team won, or this could be another year like you have a Butler that just shows up. I mean, granted, Butler had Gordon Hayward.
Well, I think the team, the mid-major team this year to watch is Dayton.
Yeah.
Because Obi Toppin is that good.
Yeah, they're saying he's, like, what, top 3 right now?
He's legit. Yeah. He's legit. So and the NCAA tournament is a situation where one guy can take over.
Well, and historically, Dayton has been a team that does play well against these bigger schools and does beat them. So this could be your year. You could see Dayton in the Elite Eight Final Four.
Oh, yeah.
And just all seeding.
Oh, there's going to be somebody. There will be a Cinderella this year that is at least in the Elite Eight. Mm-hmm. At least. I will guarantee it. Maybe we need to do a Spartans, Wolverines, and Beards bracketology thing.
I was thinking bracketology and then maybe open up like a
pool.
Like a pool and just have listeners fill out some brackets.
Yeah. We can find a prize of some kind.
Yeah.
Maybe you can guest co-host with us.
Kind of cool.
There you go.
That's an idea.
And we'll get 6 people that are willing to get in it that way. I don't know. College basketball is really going. It's a really important week. The Big Ten is crazy, and I feel like we say this exact same thing every week, but it's still holding true. There's 4 games for our teams this week, and that's going to tell us a lot.
It's going to tell us who they are.
For sure. So do you have any other thoughts on college basketball, or do you want to shut this part of it down and go to the NBA?
Let's roll the NBA.
All right, so we're going to get going into our last segment here, do a little NBA talk, kind of the hot news, the latest rumblings, talk about some of the Pistons stuff and just everything else that's going on. I think the the biggest news in the basketball world is the debut of Zion tonight.
Yep.
So once again, by the time you've listened to this, you will know what happens with Zion. But Lane, what are your thoughts on that whole saga that it has been?
He is such an interesting player. There's obviously been nobody out there since LeBron that's gotten as much hype as he has.
Oh God, he's polarizing for sure.
I mean he's already gotten sponsorships to Jordan, and he's getting his own shoe, and
he hasn't even played a minute.
Yeah, he hasn't played actual a minute
ball
yet. And it's, you know, and I was talking to my buddy Chris today at work about it, because he's big in the NBA as well, and it's going to be interesting, because they had to basically teach Zion how to walk differently.
Yeah, which was weird.
Because there's some, it's some position weight, it's like some lumbar or something, but essentially like his back, I believe what it is he carries his weight in his lower back and his left hip when he walks. So they basically had to teach him how to straighten and walk different and all that, plus he's 285 pounds, and I hope it's not another Greg Oden situation.
It has all the freaking.
But it, all signs are pointing that way. I mean, I think the dream scenario would have been is for him to have been healthy, and him to have entered the dunk contest this year.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, there's still spots open, so never say never. There's
no way they're going to let him do that.
The Pelicans are going to say, there's no way you're doing that, man. Yeah,
no. They're not. Like, they'd laugh him out of the office if he came in and asked.
Yeah, they'd say, you're the franchise now, man.
Huh.
Which, it's ironic, because Brandon Ingram is flat-out balling out for New Orleans now.
Right.
Which, nobody really saw that coming. And it does come to kind of show, you leave LeBron and you start to look a little bit better.
Oh, yeah. You know, you have, well, once again, a polarizing figure that's ball dominant. I mean, there's only one ball.
Yeah.
You can't get
Sheed. Ball don't lie. Quote some Sheed.
Yeah, where's Sheed at? Tell him Sheed. Get him Sheed.
So then I guess carrying on into the Lakers, there's...
That's a good segue there. How about that? Look at us getting professional.
Look at us. Look at that shit.
Hey, look at us.
Look at us.
Who'd have thought? Not me.
Yeah. Thank you, Paul Rudd.
Sorry.
If you ever listen to this, please come on our show. Anyways, so Lakers, latest talk is that they want to move on from Kuz, which everybody saw the writing on the wall for that. Yeah. LeBron's got assets. He's going to move them. I mean, that's the way it is. There's no GM. It's LeBron.
There is a script to how this works.
Yep.
For LeBron. Like, I come in, I get my team, I move out the guys I don't want, I bring in the guys I want, and we win. That's just what he does.
Steve Dombrowski.
Kind of, except for he doesn't, well, I guess he does kind of burn your whole franchise down.
Yeah, see, look at Cleveland right now.
John Beilein knows all too well.
Yeah, John Beilein, yeah. But, so one of the trade offers that I did see that have been floated around, and it does involve the Pistons, is that you send Quinn Cook in a 2023 first for Derrick Rose.
That's a lot for Derrick Rose.
He's having like a resurrecting career year. And when I look at that trade, I would, if I'm the Pistons,
oh yeah,
take it. I mean, you're bringing Kuz home because he's from Saginaw.
Oh really? I didn't know
he's from Saginaw. Oh. So you're bringing him home, and Quinn Cook, he's no scrub. Like,
right.
Quinn Cook just doesn't have any minutes in LA.
Right.
So I think that gets LA their point guard that they need. It's in a more of affordable contract where you could potentially afford to bring in another big name. The Pistons, it works because they're rebuilding. Drummond right now, the trade interest is not good.
Sounds like.
They're saying the most pick they're going to get the second rounder for him, which to me is absolutely insane, because when he tries, he's 25, 25, and 3 every night.
Yeah, when?
When. And that's the key, is when. I have such a love-hate with Andre Drummond. It's incredible, because you watch some games and he will just flat out take over. And then there's other games where guy that's 6'3" comes driving down the lane, and you should be absolutely tearing him up. You just, okay. Yeah. Oh, by the way, go ahead and get your miss.
Yeah.
That's fine. And I personally, I think the Pistons, you almost have to make a deal. Because getting nothing is, when you're trying to rebuild is not it. I mean, Blake's, like we said last week, he's not going to come back and be anything special.
Definitely not.
I think he's spent every last bit of gas he had in Detroit, and I think now you hope he's not going to be a shell of what he was. But too many knee injuries.
Yeah, I think that ship has sailed.
I think that ship sailed. So, optimism. Pistons do some moves. Get a little bit better. But we'll see.
When's the deadline?
The 7th? So it's coming up quick.
I'd like to see them keep Luke Kennard. I like him.
Yeah, and then they're saying like Luke Kennard to the 76ers, which he would be a perfect piece for them. I mean, they need kind of a wing.
So would Derrick Rose, though.
I think it would
to get Simmons off the ball.
Yeah, I mean, and right now Simmons, I think he's seeing what's going on because he's balling out. Of course, he's not shooting any threes, which in today's NBA, how are you not?
Right.
But when you wear an absolute god
off, can't.
You just flat out can't. It'd be like me shooting out there.
I still don't understand how people don't have a jumper. What did you do when you played the driveway? Layups? Oh, layup practice. Left hand? No. Everybody shot jumpers.
Well, I always just lowered the rim to like 4.5 feet.
So you could dunk. Yeah,
I just absolutely had dunk contests. And
pretended like you were 7'5".
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Well,
everybody can hope.
I can wish. I can wish one hand and shit in the other and see which one fills up first.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think right now the NBA, it's a little quiet. Just kind of waiting to see what the deadline's going to be. Last year, kind of a similar year where the deadline, people are thinking there's going to be some big moves. Turns out kind of be a dud. Buddy Hield wants out of Sacramento. He could be an interesting name to maybe L.A. or somebody like that, or Philadelphia, Boston, somebody along those lines, Milwaukee even.
I was just going to say, I'm surprised I haven't heard more about Milwaukee in there, just getting one more piece.
I just think Milwaukee is doing what Milwaukee is supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
I mean, Giannis is an absolute freak. They're trying to do whatever they can to keep him.
All right.
Because, and I think it's a shout out to him for already saying, you know, I want to stay in Milwaukee in today's day and age where it's all about your brand.
Right.
So, I mean, it'll be interesting.
Milwaukee's a fun town. I've been there.
Do you remember it?
It's fun. I do remember it. That's where my bachelor party was, but yeah, it was a good time. We had a hell of a time.
I mean, you've got the Mavs with Luka. Luka's balling out. Kristaps makes the Knicks look dumber every day.
But the Knicks are like the Lions.
Which,
like, they just, that's just what they do.
Which is sad because my Knicks are actually my number one team.
Yeah.
So I'm in sports purgatory.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
you got nothing.
I'm trying to get a little bit more into hockey. Trying to.
Why? The Red Wings suck still?
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to get into it.
Yeah. I guess they got promise coming.
But yeah.
I'm not a hockey guy. I like to watch the playoff games once in a while because those are exciting, but
it's not too bad.
Nothing like
playoff hockey. That's
nothing like playoff baseball,
yeah,
though.
Oh, yeah. There's not much to beat the playoff
baseball. No, the adrenaline in that is insane. So, anyways, before we ramble too much, you got more on the NBA?
No, man. I think I'm good.
Okay. Well, I guess we're going to have a short episode this week. I think we'll probably have more and more. These will be a little shorter. This time of year, like I said, the content's a little thinner. And after, next weekend, it'll really just be the NBA and college basketball. So,
which we could potentially play with some stuff.
Yeah, we may throw in some wrestling.
Wrestling!
Or something else like
that. My God!
We'll see.
Speaking of wrestling.
Oh, Lord.
Royal Rumble this weekend. Road to WrestleMania.
It all begins.
If I know you haven't been watching it, but if you had a hunch, who you taking?
I think the WWE is going to screw it up. They always do. They'll bring somebody back to win it as a gimmick. Lesnar's got a belt right now, right?
And he actually entered into it at number one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is weird.
That's an interesting storyline.
Which the storyline, if you read all the insider stuff, is supposedly he's going to build his WrestleMania feud at the Rumble. So odds are somebody's going to eliminate him.
What's his name? Didn't one of the other USC or MMA guys come in?
Well, Cain Velasquez did.
Yeah.
But then I guess Cain Velasquez is in deep shit because he didn't disclose severity of injuries.
Well, that'll happen.
And then Tyson Fury was another one that they said they were going to have a feud with because he feuded with Braun Strowman. But now Tyson Fury's facing Deontay Wilder, and they're saying there's no way he would put him in that situation.
Right.
Facing against Wilder. There's right. No way.
Hey, speaking of that, did you watch the McGregor fight?
It's over.
I know. Did you watch it?
I've watched clips.
I'm going to say so a bunch of us were together. We watched it, and it was, man, I now understand why I don't get into UFC in that.
Spend $60.
Man, those fights were horrible. There was like one good match,
yeah.
And then McGregor knocks Cowboy out in 40 seconds. I'm like, what? I'm way too drunk for this. I'm going to bed.
Which is interesting because you did see a different side of Conor, more humble.
Well, and I think one of my buddies that we were with who follows a little more, he said, see, that just shows what Conor is like when he respects somebody. Like, he respected Cowboy, so he genuinely felt bad about how that went. But if he doesn't respect you, to quote him, he doesn't give a fook.
I don't give a... Who the fuck is that?
Yeah, right. So, all right. Let's go ahead and shut this thing down.
Didn't take... Who you got
for God.
I'm holding you to it, damn it.
Probably Roman Reigns, just because it's dumb.
Yeah.
That's what WWE will do. It'll be Roman Reigns.
I'm taking Drew McIntyre.
Oh, boy. We Claymore kicks for everybody.
Claymore.
So, all right. With that being said, thank you guys again for listening. We really appreciate it. Like Lane mentioned at the start, any social media stuff you can share and like and follow wherever you're listening, give us those rates and reviews. And the biggest number one thing I've always told everybody is just tell one person that you're friends with about us and just ask them to give us a listen. Everybody tells one person, we grow a little bit more every time. So that helps keep this thing going. And we appreciate it.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Any other thoughts?
Nah, enjoy the Royal Rumble this weekend.
Yeah. Well, I'll be
go through.
Yeah, I'll be all over that. Okay, we'll be back at you guys next week.
Go green.
Go blue.